Before I get started, you know, it would have been very appropriate for the message today being on servitude. Because I must say, I was a bit moved by how hard Jennifer Pitts worked to make Vacation Bible School a complete success. You know, I understand why she said, next year, tag, you're it. Because there was nothing I needed that wasn't there for me. I just had to look around, and it was in my room. I didn't have to go out to another area and find it. It was there waiting for me. So I understand you say, tag, you're it. My question is, who's going to step up and do what you did? We'll have to find two people. And then the twins, y'all know this wasn't me. This was the twins that made it all happen. So thank you all. Yeah. Let's bow our heads. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I ask humbly that the message that you have for us today touch our hearts. Let it be a lesson that we can apply today in our lives, Father, for today is what matters. You've told us a number of times, Father, don't worry about tomorrow. Today is what's important. So, Father, I pray that the message that you've presented for us today is something we'll take in our heart and apply it now. In Christ's name we pray, amen. A disguised walk with Jesus. You know, none of us truly are prepared when bad things happen to us. We think we are. We've got ourselves, we pray daily. We study daily. We congregate weekly. We congregate Wednesday nights. We prepare ourselves. But I promise you, I've seen the strongest, the most vigilant, the most spiritual people get knocked down to their knees sometimes. The Bible has stories full of great people getting knocked down to their knees. And when bad things happen to you out there, it bothers us all. Because sometimes we don't understand why. And I hope that today's message will brighten it up a little bit. And understand that sometimes when bad things happen to good people, thank God. The scripture reading, Philippians 1:29, for it is you to have been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to also suffer for his sake. That should tell you a little bit of something. We read in Ellen White's Desire of Ages this, of all the gifts that heaven can bestow upon men, fellowship in Christ in his suffering is the most weighty trust in the highest honor. My first explanation of all this is that in God's and his perfect character, he gives us the will to choose. And this choice that everyone has, all of you have, that I have, has an impact to those around us. You know, your neighbor burns trash next door and your garage burns down. Happens. A person decides to drive intoxicated, runs into you or a loved one. That's not something of your own choice, but nevertheless, you're reaping the negative. You work for a company many, many years. You give it your all. And at the end, near the end of your career, you're let go for a new generation that's coming in, and they need to start their careers as well. But room must be made. After a doctor's appointment, this is something that hit home with us. For people who have a health message, there's a lot of us really are struggling. There's a lot of us has got some health issues. You live your life in accordance to God's will. By his mandate, by how he tells us, we've got a health message. We live right. We rest. We do all those things. You go to a doctor's checkup and you find out that you have a serious illness. Then what? Why? Why is that? Evangelical pastor, author, and radio personality and good old Texas boy Charles Swindoll states, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how it affects you or what you do about it. I agree with that. Because you know what? When bad things happen to your neighbor, you think, oh, that's bad. And you go about your life. It obviously wasn't that big of a deal. But to your neighbor, that's a big deal what's happening to them. So it's only 10% of the bad stuff. It's the 90% of our time. What do we do about it? What's our mindset? As Christians, we have the honor and the privilege to look beyond the measures of ill fortune and see the possibilities and be grateful for what we have and, more importantly, what we will have. We don't worry about this. Let's worry about that. Let's keep that in mind. The message I offer you today is a bit different in the fact that these troubles, these potential hardships that God doesn't directly give you, but he allows it to happen to you, is an opportunity. Here's what I know to be a crucial part of this message. These trials that we must face can be a blessing if you and I allow them to be. I believe that, I'm almost certain this is from Ellen White's writing somewhere. God never leaves his children otherwise than they would choose to be led. If they could see the end to the beginning and discern the glory of the purpose which they are fulfilling. What that tells us is that we have an opportunity that God allows us to show others when bad things happen to us, who we belong to. We belong to God. We believe in Jesus, and we trust in the Holy Spirit. We have an opportunity, we have an obligation to show the world what we're all about. We don't talk it, we're going to live it. God gives us an example, an opportunity to be an example to our family and our friends. I'm going to tell you a story about three young ladies. These three young ladies lived in the Northwest, and they didn't know each other. They were going to go to a Christian concert, a two-night Christian concert in Seattle. And each individual young lady had done whatever was necessary to attend this event that in their mind was going to be the event of their life. This was going to be it. This incredible Christian concert. They had to save their money, do odd jobs to be able to afford to go to this event. They couldn't wait for the event of the year. The night of the concert, all three ladies arrive from different directions, a little bit different times, but they find themselves in the same line at the same ticket booth. Now the story begins. One young lady realizes that the ticket that she had purchased a month in advance was not a legitimate ticket. She will not be allowed to enter into this concert. The next young lady that walks up to the ticket booth, she gives her ticket to the ticket lady, and with bewilderment on the look of this ticket taker's face, she looks at the woman and hands the ticket back. And the young lady picks up the ticket and looks at it. It was for last night's concert. She had purchased the ticket. She had told them exactly what day she could attend. She never bothered to look at the ticket. It came in the mail. She put it in her purse. She was going to go. She was not going to be allowed to attend. The last young lady comes up to the ticket booth looking for her ticket, for she had babysitted for many months. And her neighbor, who was to buy her a ticket, was going to have one waiting for her. There was no ticket with her name on it at the ticket booth. She was not going to be allowed to enter into the concert. These women are livid by all this. All three women were so disappointed. They can't believe that God had done this to them. It wasn't like they were trying to go to some regular concert or something that was worldly. This was something that they had prayed about. They wanted to attend this. They had made an effort to go and fellowship at this Christian concert. And God has denied them, and they don't understand. How could this be? God let them down in their mind. Well, while the concert's taking place, these three young ladies find themselves sitting outside the entranceway on the same bench, just not even paying attention to one another, just trying to get their arms around, their ears around, and their eyes around, and their heart around what is just taking place. They couldn't believe this bad thing had happened to them. However, God had a much bigger plan for these three young ladies. During the night, these three young ladies had an opportunity to begin to talk to one another and share their experiences. Now, I will say, had this story been about three men, then the sermon would have been over with right here. Because Rick, Jordan, and I, if we'd been disappointed, we just would have went home and just yelled at somebody we loved. We wouldn't have shared it. We wouldn't have wanted to commiserate. No. But three women, yeah. Y'all are willing to share your failures and your faults. And I commend you for it. After a few hours of discussion and sharing, these three women find out that they have a lot in common. Besides, they love the Lord. And they build a camaraderie between the three. And a friendship starts. One becomes a doctor. One becomes a businesswoman. And one becomes a Christian school administrator. Now, that in itself is not that big deal. Good Christian women do that all the time. But this combination was God's doing. One woman years later had a child that had many illnesses at birth. And this woman needed the support of a family and a good doctor. And her friend from this concert disappointment was there for her and her child. God had provided. One woman had a child that had difficulty learning and needed to have a smaller classroom and a curriculum that would help this child grow. Well, her friend, who became a school administrator, was able to help her find that right school where that family could grow and they would have confidence. God provided. The last woman, she had an opportunity to adopt several children. But to have several children, it's not cheap. And because she had a friend that she had for all these years now from this disappointment, her friend that was a businesswoman was able to help her create a business at home that provided all the financial needs that she had needed. God provided. These blessings these three young ladies received was disguised as a disappointment. Only God knew that each would be there for each other. And it was his plan better than their plan on that particular night. You know, there's another story about a big disappointment for an individual. It took place almost 2,000 years ago. The story is similar in that this man had not just spent some time, he had spent most of his young adult time and much money in preparation for this event of his life. And it wasn't just to go to a Christian concert. It was something much, much greater. We find this story in Matthew chapter 27, Mark 15, and then in Luke 23, which Luke offers the details that I'm going to share with you. Under Luke 23, 26. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. This man's from North Africa. In fact, it's interesting that this sermon came to me from Dio, who's from Africa. We covered this story, you know, I mean, it must have been 10 months ago that we talked about this. And every time I see that smiling face, it reminds me of this story. And it just touches my heart every time. He has saved his money to afford this journey. This journey was a pilgrimage to the holy city. As this man travels to see Jerusalem, he sees other people that have made this same trek. They have this same desire. They want to see the great temple. After many weeks of traveling and years of planning, he now enters the gate of the great city Jerusalem. Oh, he's excited. Oh, this is going to be an event. This will be remembered for the rest of his life, this event. And it comes at a time where the most highest of honors is the Passover. Going to be there in Jerusalem, in the great city, during Passover? Oh, it's on now. Oh, it's on. He would eat the bitter herbs and lambs. He would talk and recite the story of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. With others, he would share the annual rekindling. You know, that they expected and was waiting for God to send them a Savior. And this Savior was going to subjugate everyone. Everyone was to bow down and honor the God of Israel. They were talking about this. They were waiting for this to happen. Simon had believed these things his entire life. And tonight, as he enters the city, he's going to celebrate the future of Israel. But we kind of know what happened in this story, right? As Simon enters the city, there's something not quite right. He hears yelling and he feels the agitation that is in the air. You could sense it everywhere. He senses it from the crowd that's all around as it moves toward him. He's just now got into the gate, and this crowd is moving toward him. Simon sees what the noise is all about, and the sight causes him to pull back quickly. Roman soldiers are coming his way, and there appears to be a man carrying a cross. Simon pulls back as far as he can. He can't get back any further, but there's all these people here. He's left near the front. As the procession moves next to him, the prisoner in the middle collapses under the weight of this cross. And Simon sees for the first time that this man has been mistreated. The prisoner's clothes are covered in blood. He can tell that this man has been beaten. Simon knows that this man should not have been treated that way. No matter what kind of criminal he was, there was no reason for him to be treated that way. But Simon's truest concern was about Simon. Simon didn't want to be in proximity to any of this going on. Simon knew that if he was in anywhere near all this, he would be considered unclean. He wouldn't be allowed after all this time of traveling, all this money spent, all this effort and all this prayer. He would not be allowed to participate in that night's events nor the following days. He would be considered unclean. But Simon's blocked in. He can't get away quickly enough, and a soldier comes over and grabs him on the shoulder and directs him to pick up that cross. Simon is chosen because of his appearance. His skin is dark. his features and attire, tell the Roman soldier that he's not from this area. For to have anything to do with this would be a shameful embarrassment. And I tell you, had that Roman soldier tried to grab someone that lived in that city, there would have been an uproar. There would be a chance for a riot. The Roman soldier grabbed the only person that was the right person, somebody who was a stranger. Simon is mortified. He's planned for this event most of his life. He's traveled for weeks. He's not even in the city gates a few yards. And he's made to carry the cross of a common criminal. Well, Simon wonders, how can God do this to me? How can God be so unfair? Why me, God? Why is that happening to me? Why did he grab somebody else? This is not fair. This ain't right. Again, the soldier demands that he pick up this cross. Simon follows the directive of the soldier. The prisoner makes no sound, but lays there exhausted. Simon stoops and picks up the timber and hoists it to his shoulder. A guard drags the convict to his feet, and the procession begins. But the convict raises his hand, and everything stops. Simon can't believe what he is seeing. Here was a man that was just laying almost dead with exhaustion, has now, with some sort of miraculous power, has raised his hand, and even the soldiers stop what they're doing. The procession stops. Turning to the wailing women, Jesus speaks quietly, but with an arresting force. Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves, for your children. Hard times are coming to our beloved city, times so bad that mothers would wish themselves childless spinsters, that wish themselves dead. Don't weep for me. Weep for the suffering that will ruin our city when time comes for choosing is over. Then this man, Jesus, nods his head, and they start forward. Simon is moved by the words of this man next to him. Simon had heard the name of Jesus before he had entered the city. Wasn't exactly sure who this man was, but he knew there was a lot going on about the name Jesus. He hears the wailing of the women that are following. He also hears the hecklers in the crowd as well. He doesn't understand. Simon is torn between the emotions. How could this man be so hated and so loved at the same time? What is it about this man? But this man who carries the cross for is someone special. This man that he walks beside is a man that Simon must know more about. Why is he loved and hated all at the same time? The soldiers thought to do Simon no favor by grabbing his shoulder. They did not know that Jesus was allowing Simon the opportunity to share his great victory. What started out in the mind of Simon as being a punishment or a wrong done by him, by God, turns out to be a great blessing. A blessing. An opportunity to walk side by side with Jesus. Jesus didn't ask Simon to take his place on the cross, but he allowed him the opportunity to share in the privilege of suffering with him. The story of Simon should speak to us all. The pains that we may feel, the curses that we have, but we look deeper in our hearts, we see the opportunity to share in the carrying of that cross. The good news, the sermon, the story of Simon is that, hey, God's not mad at you. God's not punishing you. God's at least responsible for, to the extent that he allows it to happen. He could have prevented it, but he didn't. So we can live with this confidence. In this suffering, he can create an occasion for you and he to walk together. In Ellen White's writings, we find these in the Adventist home. You know, wouldn't hurt once in a while to break open Ellen, Miss White's Adventist home. If you kind of want to know a good guideline of how your children should be taught and taught, how you should treat your spouse, this is a good guideline. Page 18. Troubles may invade, but these are the lot of humanity. Let patience and love keep sunshine in the heart, though the day may be cloudy. Page 118. Real life has its shadows and its sorrow. To every soul, troubles must come. Satan is constantly working to unsettle the faith and destroy the courage. And lastly, on page 430, it is the duty of everyone to cultivate cheerfulness instead of brooding over sorrows and troubles. Many not only make themselves wretched in this way, but they sacrifice health and happiness. Focusing on the negatives make you sick. Don't be sick. Give it up. God could have easily arranged for Simon to miss this encounter with the soldiers. God could have easily arranged your lives differently also. He could have overruled your choices, but he has not. But neither has he coldly left us to fend for ourselves as well. God acts as the great conspirator. He works within the stream of good choices, bad choices, the scheming of angry and foolish men to bring us to himself. For those who allow him access to their inner beings, he uses everything for the ultimate good. Let me read 2 Timothy 2:3, if y'all allow me. 2 Timothy 2:3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That did not say everything's going to be easy. Don't you worry. No problems for you. That's not what it said. Because God does not promise that we as Christians will not suffer of our hardship. On contrary, God warns you that it's going to happen. Don't be surprised. In fact, if nothing is happening in your life that you can perceive as negative, be concerned. Because if you're walking the right path, there's got to be some things going on in your life that are not right. Because the path is not easy. It's very narrow. You can step off in a heartbeat, and I promise you, it's not downhill. It's all uphill. Heaven is up here, everybody. But he also promises that he will not abandon us. He will not leave you to fend for yourself. The grace he provides far outweighs the hardships and pain. He offers more grace when the burdens become greater. The more Satan throws at you, the more he gives you your Savior, Jesus Christ. When we've exhausted our stores of endurance, his endurance just got started. I'm going to read Psalms 34:17. Psalms 34:17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. He delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Bible does not teach us that God will save us from our trouble. You know what the Bible teaches us? He'll save us through our troubles. It's through the troubles that he will save us. He makes us stronger through the fire, not from the fire. Paul said that much tribulation we will have to enter in the kingdom of God. And you know what? Paul knew tribulation. This is a man who knew what he's talking about. When you want to know about tough times, Paul got whooped just because. Just because. They didn't know what to do with him. They whooped him a couple of times. Whooped him so much they thought he was dead at one time. So if you want to know tribulation, if you think you got it bad, grab you some New Testament and start reading it and find out. I'm going to close with this. Rest assured, the story for many generations for Simon for Cyrene was the time that he, Simon, walked with Jesus in Jerusalem. As we can pass down to our families, our journeys with God as the walks that we have had, for we all have at times a disguised walk with Jesus. Thank you so much.